Have you ever found yourself coming out of a meeting and wondering, well, I have no idea what the client wants and the client has no idea what they want. What am I going to put in my proposal? Now there's huge red flags with that statement. Don't sweat it. This is a first in a series of videos, which is going to help you go from order taker to trusted advisor. What does that mean? Well, if you stick around till the end of the video, you're going to come out of meetings knowing exactly what to do and how to make kick-ass proposals and charge more for the work that you do. Now, I'm essentially making this video for the 15-year-old me. I wish somebody could have told me all these things when I was starting out in my career. Well, I learned the hard way when I went and worked in agencies, ran my own agency. And to be honest, if you stick around till the end, you're going to realize this is pretty simple in principle and very easy to do, but I'm not sure why enough people don't do it. Maybe I can change your mind. And at any point you get value from this video, be sure to hit that like button and subscribe. Also, if you have any questions along the way, drop them in the comment section below and I will be happy to answer them. Let's dive right in. So who is this video for? Well, you could be an individual, independent, contractor, freelancer doing design work, dev work, strategy, market strategy, social media work, whatever. You're trading your skills for money. You could also be part of a small agency or a larger agency, or you could be part of a professional services firm, like a consulting or advisory firm. And I've seen people all the way from junior to senior struggle with some of the challenges we discuss and solve in this video. So in a nutshell, for juniors, it's going to be an eye-opener. And for advanced and senior folks, it's going to be tweaking and adjusting and fine-tuning. Let's begin with your current state. Are you seen as a vendor in an ad hoc relationship where the client basically sees you as an execution arm? They tell you what to do and you go do it. Now, when you are in that ad hoc vendor relationship, you are going to be downstream where the client does all the thinking and strategy work up front. And when they decide what they need to get done, they will come and talk to you. For example, they might come and say, oh, can you make this poster for us? Or can you make this landing page for us? And here's the content, where you are just cleaning up a slide or designing a page where all the content is provided to you. And now because you're just executing stuff and working on deliverables, you are going to charge the client in that fashion for deliverables and in hours or project-based. Well, a couple of things to unpack here. One, you're unable to convey yourself as a subject matter expert and able to charge a premium, but you also are struggling to sell because you find selling to be very icky and slimy and you're like, well, I don't do sales, bro. I'm not a salesperson. Or you just don't have the right tools. Don't worry, by the end of this video, you will. And the last one is my favorite one. You have no idea what the client wants, but you still end up spending thousands of hours making a 100-page proposal and spending frivolous amount of time perfecting fonts and images. Stop doing it. Now let's imagine a desirable future state. Imagine you are seen as a trusted advisor. You have a long-term relationship with your client. They keep coming back to you for work. They trust you. They let you do the thinking and the doing. And because of this beautiful relationship that you have with your client, you're able to ask all kinds of questions, even the stupid ones. Those are my favorite, actually. And with that, you begin to charge the client for outcomes and the impact. And in the client's mind, you shift from somebody who does execution to somebody who does the thinking and the doing. In this kind of relationship, you will move upstream and be involved in early conversations where the client is trying to figure out what they want to do and what is the real challenge and what is the solution going to be. And you can begin to charge the client for outcomes and value delivered versus hours spent executing something. One of the great things that that happens when you shift from vendor to trusted advisor is you can start charging a premium for the work that you do. And finally, my favorite, instead of walking out of meetings not knowing what the client wants, you're actually leading the conversation by asking interesting questions, having an informed point of view, and you're able to align the stakeholders and decision makers to a shared vision. This last point is really important because whether you're working independently or you're working in a small team, or you're working in a large organization, you are going to eventually end up working with people. And if you cannot lead and guide conversations with stakeholders, decision makers, peers, colleagues, then you're not going to go very far. So you have to get used to and accustomed to having difficult conversations, but also going in with an open mind, being super curious and genuinely interested in the client's problem, and stop looking at client work as another project that you have to do. Now, before we jump into the tactics and the things that you can actually start doing, it's important to understand at a macro level sort of what's going on. And one of the important things that a lot of people miss is how you are perceived in the overall context of the universe that you are in. And that's to do with your positioning. How do prospective and current clients see you in the universe that you operate? Are you putting out videos and content and seen as a thought leader? Do you speak at conferences? What kind of work do you do? What kind of clients do you have? Depending on, you know, how big and small your operation is, it's important to understand how a client perceives you. It's also to do with your reputation, how other clients talk about you, the kind of work you've done. And finally, you have to remember all the things that you're doing, all the signals that you're throwing out into the universe, how they compare to the competition. If you're saying if you're saying you are the best at X, Y, and Z, it's more than likely that there's several other firms and agencies that also claim the same thing. So it's important to sort of understand where you sit in the universe and how the client is seeing and perceiving you. Positioning, in simple terms, is perception, how someone perceives you. Another element to understand is the buying experience of the client. Put yourself in their shoes. They have a problem. They're trying to find someone to help them solve that problem, and they're looking into the universe. How will they find you? And when they do find you, what do they see? Now, for the sake of conversation and this video, I've segregated the buying experience of the client in two types. Option number one is where you are a vendor and order taker. You meet with a client, you don't spend too much time in qualifying the client to even see if they're a good fit. The client tells you what to do, you start working on it right away, and slowly the relationship peters out. And in option number two, the trusted advisor slash expert is going to pick their client versus option number one, where the client just picks a vendor to do the thing that needs to get done, which essentially means is that the expert or advisor is going to qualify the client to see if that client is a good fit for them. Wouldn't you want to be an expert who picks and chooses your clients? Well, keep listening. And in option number two, a proposal is usually a very small document, maybe one page or three pages. And because both parties have invested the time upfront to qualify and figure out if it's a good fit, you end up with a much better long-term relationship. So let's summarize these two macro aspects. One is positioning, which is essentially how the client perceives you in your universe. And two, you have to think about the client's buying experience. What are the motions they are going through when they are trying to find someone to help them solve a problem that they have? And so in option number one, you are a vendor slash order taker, spending no time at all in qualifying the client and simply taking orders. In option number two, when the client goes through the motions of finding the person to solve their problem, and when they have conversations with you as an expert, as a trusted advisor, you take the time to qualify them to find the right fit client. And the proposal process is much smaller, and the relationship is long lasting and more fruitful for both parties. Now we've got those two macro elements out of the way, let's dive into the more tactile stuff. Let's first take a look at how order takers approach conversations with the client. The mindset, attitude, and thinking that's going on in their brain as the client is describing their problem. On the extreme left, the eye represents where you are standing right now. That's your vantage point. And in your immediate focus, you first see yourself, your team, your services, your skills, your awards, your company, your building, your culture, and the thought of your client's goals and where they want to go from point A to point B, or their team, their challenges is so far removed. And finally, the premature exit dotted line represents the point at which most order takers and vendors leave a briefing conversation with the client without identifying what the real challenge is and walking out saying things like, the client has no idea what they want. The client are stupid. All right, so in the worldview of the order taker, it's about what is the thing that I do? What are my capabilities and skills? If you are a graphic designer, you are listening to a client, but in your brain, all you're thinking is, how is this problem going to be solved with graphic design? Now, because your worldview starts from the left and goes right, you are more concerned about yourself and your team and your company and less about the client and what the client's trying to do. In this conversation, you are actually doing a lot more talking and telling the client what they need to do versus listening and asking questions. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Now, the way you approach briefing conversations with clients is how you approach proposals. Your proposals typically start with, we can do this, we can do that, we've won all these awards, we have all these offices, we have these services, this is our proprietary framework, this is our process. If this is making sense and giving you value, be sure to hit that like button and subscribe. Do leave a comment below if you have any questions. If something is unclear, do let me know. So let me quickly summarize. So you go into a briefing conversation wrapped up in your own universe, in your own head, in your own team, your own awards, your own building, your own culture. And then you show up with a proposal to a client, which echoes the same sentiment. We can do this, we can do that. But you're like, no, but I have to tell the client we won all these awards. We have to tell them about all this stuff. But we have to tell them, you know what the client's thinking? So what? I don't care about your awards. I don't care about your office. I don't care about any of that stuff. The client cares about what they care about. People care about what they care about. People see the world as it relates to them. So what? Nobody cares that you won all these awards. Nobody cares that you have this proprietary process. Nobody cares that your office has this Nespresso machine. Nobody cares, okay? Nobody cares. Have you ever heard of the value pyramid, which was created by Bain and Company? Now, without getting into the weeds and details of this, it's essentially outlining that all the things that you're talking about, you're thinking about, your team, your process, your price, those are all table stakes. You are basically providing food, water, and shelter, the bare minimum. What you want to actually do is start from the top of the triangle instead of the bottom of the triangle. Let me show you what I mean. Essentially, at the top of the pyramid is vision, and at the bottom of the pyramid are things like price, quality of work, and so on. Also, by the way, you know, the top of the triangle is what the CEO cares about, and the bottom half is what procurement cares about. Now, let's take a look at the right way to approach a briefing conversation, the mindset, the attitude you should have when talking to clients. What happens when you are a trusted advisor? You actually start from the right side. You actually begin the conversation with the outcomes, the desired state that the client is trying to get to. So when you are in a briefing conversation, you ask interesting and informed questions to the client. You ask them about what their desired future state looks like. So you begin with their vision and why they're doing what they're doing, because that's where the gold is. That's where the treasure is. The trusted advisor will always start with the why. Why are you doing this? What does that future state look like? Describe to me what the outcomes are. You are actively engaged in the conversation. You are coming off as helping versus selling. You are listening more than you are talking. The only time you talk is when you have to ask the client to elaborate or ask a question. Your job and role is to listen, to qualify and see if the client is the right fit and what is their vision. What are they trying to do? What is the problem that they're trying to solve? Who are they trying to do it for? What does success look like for them? And then go backwards and then look at, you know, how does this relate to my client? Is this client trying to get a promotion? Is this going to help them keep their job? Is this going to help them achieve their target and make them look good in front of their boss? Is this going to help them grow their team? What is the individual challenge of the person that I'm talking to? What does their worldview look like within the context of the department that they work in and the company that they work in? And trusted advisors seldom talk about themselves or their company. Spend maybe 5% of the entire conversation talking about themselves and their company and what they do. 95% of the conversation is spent talking about the client's goals, their success, their outcomes. Essentially, you are getting into the shoes of the client and you're beginning to look at their world from their eyes. How's the work that you're going to do with them impact not only them, their team, their company, their customers, but how that's going to reflect outward to competition, other vendors, stakeholders, investors. And so you're really thinking about their business like the CEO of their business. And at no point are you thinking about yourself and what you can do and what your services are and your company. Not at all.
As I mentioned before, how you do one thing is how you do everything. It's not about acting in a particular way for these meetings. It's just who you are. It's just how you conduct business, how you talk to clients, how you talk to vendors. It's just something that you embody. Also, to be honest, I'm not perfect at it. I mess things up all the time. I get excited. I start jumping at solutions. But then I pause and I'm like, wait a second. I think I'm jumping the gun here. I need to take a pause and ask more questions. So we're human at the same time. But remember, once you're clear on these principles and these ideas and these frameworks, you will counterbalance and check yourself. So now, coming out of meetings as a trusted advisor, your proposal is going to echo the same sentiment with which you approach those qualifying and briefing conversations. So you're going to talk in the lens of your outcomes, your customers, your challenges. How will you get there and how much money you need to allocate for this versus saying, this is our price. This is how we will take you there. And that, in a nutshell, completely changes the conversation. And finally, you probably have one slide at the end of the deck or the proposal talking about you, your company, and your team. One slide. That's it. If it's more than one slide, it's too much. Everything that you do, from conversations to proposals, everything is going to reflect a truly client-centric approach. You don't treat the work as another project, and you're genuinely invested in their success, which in turn, based on how you build a client, is linked to your own success. And finally, let's talk about the six biggest lessons and takeaways. One is, think about long-term and not short-term. Think about reputation and not immediate profit. When you are authentic, genuine, and honest about what you can do and what you can't do, it's always going to be helpful for you in the long term. Number two, serve and help and stop selling. Think from the buyer's perspective that they have a problem that they're trying to solve and they're trying to find the right person to solve that problem. It's not about you. It's not about your work. It's about the client's challenge and what they're trying to do.
Be curious longer. This is something that I feel is so simple in theory, but so many people just don't practice it. They continuously jump to conclusions and solutions in meetings. Hold your breath. Count to 10 under your breath. Keep asking questions till you reach a point where you can't go further. So important to find the right problem to solve. The quicker you jump to a solution, the longer you stay in the order taker box. Start thinking in outcomes from a client perspective. Think about what's the value that you're going to generate or create for them. Start thinking about what you do and why you do it. The thinking versus the doing, the execution versus the strategy. Also, keep in mind that pricing is different from costing. You should always price the client and not the job. Another simple mental model to shift from order taker to trusted advisor is to stop thinking, how will I solve this problem? To let me ask questions first and I'll figure out who can help me solve this problem. Or you can always tell the client, this is something that you don't do, but you have peers or colleagues in the industry who can help solve that problem. The client will respect you more when you decline and say no. And finally, have a CEO mindset. Think like the CEO of your client, of all the challenges, pain points that they have, and when you're in their shoes. Also, build relationships with the decision makers and the people who are going to sign the checks right up front. If you're not talking to the person who's going to sign the check to make it happen, you're wasting your time. If you found this video helpful and got tons of value out of it, please be sure to hit that like button and subscribe. And if you have any questions or things that you would like to learn more about, be sure to drop them in the comment section below and I will do my best to answer them. I will see you in the next one.